The WPKY Saturday Morning Quarterback Show is on the air on 1580, 103.3 WPKY and WPKYonline.com. Time to take a look back at last night's Caldwell game. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers are 5-1 on the season after knocking off Fort Campbell last night out at Tiger Stadium. 49-12 was the final score, as the Tigers, more importantly, improved to 2-0 in district play this season with a big matchup at Mayfield, or against Mayfield at Tiger Stadium, coming up next week. Good morning, everyone. This is Todd Griffin from McDonald's in Princeton on Saturday Morning Quarterback. Camden McGregor is on controls this morning, and Bradley Stallings, Caldwell County Offensive Coordinator, sending in for Tiger Head Coach Aaron McClung this morning on the show. And Bradley, big win last night. I don't think anybody anticipated the margin. We thought we would probably have a good chance to get Fort Campbell, but we didn't see a 28-0 lead after one quarter and a 42-0 lead at halftime coming down the road.
I know I can't speak for everybody, but I did not. You know, watching film and stuff, I kind of thought up front we had a little bit of an advantage. That showed itself last night.
Yeah.
And much kudos to both sides of the football, of our young men on in the trenches. So, it was a good game.
Can't get off to a much better start. Had two touchdowns on the board in the first 4 minutes. Like I said, it was 28-0 after one quarter. We hit the mercy rule pretty early in the second quarter. It was 42-0 at halftime. So, like I said, it's a big win, and it keeps you 2-0 in the district, and that's the main thing.
Yes. You know, the 2-0 in the district, I think, is the big thing about games like this. You know, this time of year, the district matchups, you know, Coach McClung, I've heard him say it a lot, and, you know, Coach Barnes, Coach Gates, yeah, all those guys have preached that. You know, once you start district play, everybody's 0-0, and those are the games that matter. So being 2-0 in the district is a big deal.
Now, 2-0 in the district, when you looked at the Fort Campbell game coming in, I know you guys watched a lot of film on them. Did you anticipate that kind of matchup last night, or did you see some things against Fort Campbell that where you were thinking, hey, maybe we can do some things offensively?
We saw some things. Coach McClung and I sat down and talked. We talk on Sundays and, you know, after church and everything, and we talked. And, you know, we saw some things. We thought we could run the ball a little bit. And so we both decided, you know, we were going to try to establish the run game a little bit. And we were kind of able to do that. We were able to establish some screens, you know, and when you can do that and you can run the football, you know, that sets up so much of your offense. You know, our guys up front did a great job. Our backs did a good job, you know, and, you know, it was neat to see our quarterback celebrate with all those running touchdowns. You know, that's a sign of unselfishness. Yeah. You know, we had all those rushing touchdowns and big rushes too. I mean, they weren't just small, you know. Gains. So, you know, that's a mark of a good team when everybody celebrates together and has fun together.
Well, the funny thing was, when I watched Fort Campbell on film, I thought, well, for once, the other team's not a whole lot bigger than us up front. But then when you showed up at Tiger Stadium Friday night, those guys looked bigger. Uh-huh. But I thought we totally controlled the game up front.
Yeah. You know, we're going to get on Coach Riley. We're going to get some of these new pads and stuff, make our kids look bigger. No, I think, you know, and we've talked about that, you and I, over the years. You know, there's been many times, you know, being around Caldwell County football, that a lot of teams we play seem to be bigger than us.
Yeah, physically. It seems like they always have the big boys somehow.
Right. But somehow, some way, you know, over the years, we've seemed to pull out our fair share of wins in those situations. Yeah. And, you know, that's just a testament, I think, to the culture, to this community, to this town, to just the young men that have been raised here, the fight that's in them. And that's kind of what football's about. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, we kind of thought the same thing, you know. But, you know, when the ball's in the air and the game's kicked off, it's about how much fight you have in you. So.
Well, and when you start talking about offensive linemen, there's a lot of technique that goes into it. You don't necessarily have to weigh 320 pounds to go out and block somebody.
You don't, but it helps, Todd.
Yeah.
No, you don't. And, you know, I think that's that way in a lot of sports. Yeah. You know, it's a lot about your fundamentals, and it's a lot about your technique and how aggressive and how fast you play within those fundamentals and techniques that you learn. You know, there's so many different styles of football that all seem to work when you run them well.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times it's not about the schemes. It's how well you do what you do. And so,
and you talk about the defensive line. There was a screen pass. Can't remember if it was the first half or the second half. Must have been the first half because the starters were still in there. They threw a little quick screen out to Perryman, and Duke Ward came over and made the tackle yes. near the sideline, and that's one of your D linemen.
Yes.
He got all the way to the sideline to make a tackle on a screen.
I remember that play because I said, my gosh, how did Duke get all the way over there?
Yeah.
But, you know, that is just – he's a motor. Coach Riley and I laughed this week. I said, Duke, because I was watching him practice. We were going ones-on-ones for a minute, you know, to get our front defense a good look with some aggressive offensive linemen. We went about 10 plays like that. And I looked, and Duke was like a spinning top. And I said, you never know where he's going to end up. And Coach Riley said, yeah, sometimes I don't either. So, I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, you take it and you laugh. And but he is a complete motor,
yeah.
And he never stops. And, man, that's great to have. I'm glad he's on our side.
Well, defensive line really got after them last night. There were times when the quarterback went to hand off the ball, and we had guys standing there waiting on who was going to get the football.
Well, even the first play that they had that ended up being a big game for them, I'm pretty sure we hit the running back before the quarterback could put it in his belly.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that was Duke coming off the edge. Because we got in a little – we made Coach Burgess got a little call there that moved some defensive linemen around. But he smacked him, and it forced the quarterback to pull it and pitch. And that was a good play for them, but we adjusted a little bit. And I don't know that they came back to that play much. Yeah. But anyway, yes, we were very aggressive to the ball last night.
Now, there was another play that I saw Fort Campbell run a whole lot against Hopkins County Central and some against Todd County. Was that middle screen to the Dixon kids? They never tried that last night, and is that because our linebackers are typically pretty good that they didn't think that would work?
Well, they did try it once, and I think it was one of those plays where the quarterback had a pretty good scramble on it because everybody on our defense had snuffed it out, and I'm not so sure we didn't tackle him before he was able to throw the football or before he was able to get the football to the running back there in that middle screen. But Coach Burgett did a good job of preparing those kids on the defensive end because they had snuffed that out before it even developed. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we had about six hats standing right there with that running back, and they could not they couldn't get the ball off. So.
Yeah. Well, big win for the Tigers, 49-12 over the Fort Campbell Falcons last night. And, you know, you look at that Fort Campbell series, and for a long time, it was us or Fort Campbell making the playoffs because we were all in a district with Mayfield.
Uh-huh.
Only two teams went to the playoffs, and so that Caldwell-Fort Campbell game was always a really big matchup. Now, lately, we've kind of owned the series. We've won 11 straight now to go up 21-17. But when Fort Campbell comes around, it still seems like it's a big game.
It does. It does, especially for those of us that have played in that rivalry and coached in that rivalry. They were state contenders. Seemed like every year, year in and year out through the 90s. In the 80s, I remember, as a kid going and watching. I mean, they had those coaches, Coach Patterson.
Yeah.
And even before him, and then after that. And, in the early 2000s, in the mid and late, 2010s, they were loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, we were laughing yesterday, Coach McClung and I, Andrews, I can't remember his
first Antonio
Andrews, he came over here as a JV player and as a freshman, and he just ran wild on us. And Coach McClung went up to their head coach. He said, Nate, he can't play varsity for y'all.
Yeah.
Well, come find out, here's a future NFL player playing JV, against us.
Oh,
I mean, they were that loaded. It's sometimes hard to get these kids to understand that because all they know is what they know, and what they've seen. So, but yes, it has, for a lot of years, it was a knockdown drag out. And they were close games. I remember, even as a kid going and watching, Wayne and Ben Van Hoosier and Brian Jaggers and Argo and them play, and those games were knockdown dragouts, man, at Fort Campbell, getting on that base.
Oh, yeah.
When things were kicking and then them coming here. I remember a lot of, one touchdown, one score
games.
Oh,
yeah.
My freshman year we got beat on a play over there at the base, which ended up – okay, and I remember this vividly because as a freshman I don't – they ran what was called a polecat, and I never heard anybody say that until I heard Coach Gates. Well, it was the way they lined up in that formation. It was an illegal formation, and I remember Coach Gates saying that before the game.
Yeah, the receiver was covered
up. Yes, he was covered up. They ran it. They scored. Came back and watched it on film. Sure enough, it was an illegal formation.
Right.
But they were able to do that. I guess it's not illegal if you don't get caught.
Right.
But it's those kinds of things, those kinds of games that I remember very well. You know.
Yeah, it should have been an illegal man downfield because the receiver was the inside guy and he was covered up by the outside receiver.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it's those are the memories that I have as a player. And, you know, my junior year, I think, was the first time that Caldwell had beat Fort Campbell on base.
Yeah.
I think it was 96. That would have been the 96 season. First time we beat them on base, I think, since David Barnes and Carroll Boyd and them were seniors in the late 70s. So that is – it's just a huge – to us, it was a big rivalry, you know.
But this year's Fort Campbell team had won three straight.
Yes.
They came in 3-2, so – you know, to me on film, I kind of thought they were a little similar to Trigg County, which is why I thought, well, we should get a win tonight, but it's going to be a fight.
You know, and sometimes things in football come down, I think, you know, the more we're around it, a lot of times it comes down to matchups. Some teams are not just not good matchups for other teams, and we may have been that for them. You know, they've got a couple players that are weapons. You know, number 2, number 23, even quarterback. They're very good football players. 23 is an excellent linebacker too, and we were able to, and we had worked all week on, listen, we have to make sure he's accounted for. And I think our kids did a pretty good job of that last night. So, I mean, they have weapons. It may have just been one of those things where maybe we were a not so good matchup for them, you know.
You know, you mentioned Antonio Andrews earlier, and that's a guy that I know played for the Tennessee Titans for a little while.
Yes.
But, you know, Micah Johnson was always part of those teams, too. And that guy's still playing in the Canadian Football League.
Wow.
Yeah. this season for Saskatchewan.
Good night.
and he's had a long career up there. He's played for several teams in the Canadian Football League. And that was, what, 20 years ago when he played high school? Because I think he graduated UK around 2010.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's been a day or two.
Yeah, it has. I think the 06, 05, 06 season, somewhere in there, was when he was a senior there at Fort Campbell, and that team was loaded, too. You know, I think they had three major Division I players come off that team.
What'd they win? Three straight championships?
Three state championships. Yeah. Now, that team did not, because they got upset by Owensboro Catholic at the base that night.
Oh.
And so, they've had their share.
So, if you were wondering what happened to Micah Johnson, he's still a freak. He's still bigger than ever. He still plays. He's still out there making sacks as a D lineman. And, just incredible that he's still going at this point and still playing really, really well.
It is. It is. You know, an interesting story about that, too. You know, that senior year when they played over here, he may be one of the few times a Fort Campbell player got thrown out of a game over here, too.
Yeah, and it was him.
It was him. So, anyway, that's something us that were there that night will always remember that as well.
Well, there were a lot of people actually upset about that because a lot of people had come in to see Fort Campbell. There were a lot of people that weren't Tiger fans or Fort Campbell fans, but they were there to see this guy. And I don't think they were happy that the officials kicked him out. And I don't think it was anything egregious, but he ended up getting a couple of unsportsmanlikes and or personal fouls, and he was gone.
He was, and the people may not have been happy, but we were not sad that night.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that reminds me of a trip we made to Ohio County one night. And it doesn't have anything to do with Fort Campbell, but we go to Ohio County, and there's no place to park. I mean, the school's parking lot's full. Every parking lot around the school is full. You know, we drive around for 10 minutes trying to find somewhere to park, and we're thinking, well, it's homecoming tonight or it's senior night or something. We get out of the car and ask somebody who's wearing an Ohio County shirt, where are all these people coming from? He's like, oh, these people are all here to see Caldwell's quarterback. It was Elijah Sundelar.
Okay.
Because he was being recruited by Kentucky.
Yes.
And everybody wanted to come see that kid that was being recruited by Kentucky. And, of course, Micah Johnson ended up at UK as well, so a lot of people wanted to come see that guy.
And that's understandable.
Yeah. You know? 49-12, Caldwell County with a big win at Tiger Stadium last night over the Fort Campbell Falcons. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. We are live from McDonald's this morning. A busy Saturday. A little bit later on after we get done, we'll have Caldwell County volleyball on the air. The Lady Tigers scheduled to host Christian Fellowship School today at the Community Activities Building. Varsity action starting around 11 o'clock today, and Daniel Courtner, I believe, is going to call all the action for us this morning. So, busy morning here on WPKY. We're going to get back with more of Saturday Morning Quarterback from McDonald's after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
It's volleyball time, Caldwell County.
I'm Sue Stone, and I want to invite you to join me for all of your Caldwell County volleyball coverage on WPKY.
Join Sue Stone and the WPKY Sports Edge team Saturday, September 27th at 10:30 as the Lady Tigers take on Christian Fellowship live from the Cab, your home for Caldwell County Lady Tiger Volleyball.
Caldwell County Volleyball is on WPKY.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Calling all bargain hunters. Make your way to the Big Deal Store this weekend for unbeatable savings. Our clearance rack is now front and center, offering select deals at up to 80% off. With limited quantities, act fast to shop and save even more. Hurry in today and tomorrow only to take advantage of these incredible offers at the Big Deal Store or visit bigdeals@wpkyonline.com.
It's not often we're given an opportunity to save another person's life. Western Kentucky Regional Blood Center gives us that opportunity every day. What if we could do that 6 times a year? With each pint of blood donated, Western Kentucky Regional Blood Center is able to use it to save 3 lives. That could be 18 lives each year. Think about it. Western Kentucky Regional Blood Center, 1902 South Virginia Street, Hopkinsville. Visit WKRBC.org for times of operation.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
The Caldwell County Tigers knocked off Fort Campbell last night at Tiger Stadium, 49-12. Tigers, if you missed it, scored 2 touchdowns in the first 4 minutes of the game. It was 28-0 after one quarter, 42-0 at halftime, and the Tigers get out of there with a 49-12 win over the Falcons. Caldwell 5-1, 2-0 in district play. And one of our favorite stats, Bradley, Coach Bradley Stallings with us this morning, is time of possession. Sometimes it means a lot. Sometimes it means absolutely nothing. Last night, Fort Campbell had the ball for 34 minutes and 59 seconds. Caldwell County had the ball for 13 minutes and 1 second.
I'm glad that stat meant nothing.
Yes,
last night.
Didn't mean anything.
That is correct.
When you get a running clock, though, it kind of skews all the stats.
It sure does. It sure does. And that's all right, because really the only stat that matters is – you know, the win and loss. So.
But we like running clocks.
When we're on the right side of it, we do.
When we're on the right side, for sure.
Yes.
You look at the district standings now, Caldwell County and Mayfield at 2-0. Crittenden County and Fort Campbell 1-1. Trigg County and Todd County Central are 0-2. So that makes that matchup with Mayfield out here at Tiger Stadium next Friday even more important.
It does. It does. And so, you know, we just have to – we just have to prepare, and we take it one game at a time. You know that, you know, and it is important because our kids took care of business the first two games. You know, so you have to go one game at a time. And I know people go, "Oh, that's just coach speak." Well, it's coach speak because had we not gone one game at a time, this game could possibly mean whether or not we would make the playoff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to take care of business one game at a time, and then you put yourself in positions in games like, you know, Friday night that we're going to have. So that's part of the lessons of athletics and the lessons of football, that, you know, you have to take care of business or business doesn't come your way, you know.
It's like I always say, winning solves a lot of problems.
It does, doesn't it, though?
All sports, you know.
In all sports. And you know, it does. Winning does solve a lot of problems, and especially if you go about it the right way. It's always more fun to win, I can tell you that much.
Absolutely. Well, we don't want to sugarcoat next week. I mean, we know Mayfield's Mayfield, and they're always going to be Mayfield. Every year we hear the Mayfield's down this year, and then they're not really down. They're just the same old Mayfield. So, but we know it's a big challenge, but, you know, I think we're in a good spot right now to go out and challenge them, and it's one of those that even if you don't win – maybe like that Union County loss earlier this year, you learn a lot of lessons from it, and you get better as a team, even if you don't pick up a win.
Well, you do learn lessons. I'd rather learn lessons winning than losing, but you do learn lessons. You know, what you said about Mayfield is true, but I think a lot of that has to do as a testimony to the program and to their coaching staff, you know, year in and year out.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I mean, you're not going to sugarcoat it, but, you know, we're not going back down either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the game on the schedule, and that's the game you look forward to. And our kids know. Yeah. They know. But I can tell you this, that they're not going to show up and not be prepared and not put their best foot forward. You know, I think that's the next one on the schedule.
Yeah.
So that's the one the kids are going to look forward to. And as coaching staff, we've already went to work this morning and get ready and prepare our kids. And we're going to come out and we're going to play football like we have all year.
Yeah.
You know, this is the way it should be. So, I mean, you know, this is the way it should be. These are the games that you prepare for in May, June, and July. And I think it's going to be fun.
Going back to that Union County game for a moment, though, like you say, you don't ever want to lose a game.
Mm-mm.
But we learned a lot out of that game, and we got better because of that game.
Sure. And, you know, that's what you have to do when you lose. You have to understand that there are things to be learned in all situations. Good and bad and indifferent.
Yeah.
You know, as a coach, that's our job, and that's one of the things we preach to the kids all year long. Our job is to prepare you. Our job is to get you ready. If you're not ready, and you're not performing, you know, fast and aggressive, then that's on us as a coaching staff, because that tells us we had not prepared you. If you're not going out, you know, confident and performing, then that's on us. Your job is to go 110 miles an hour every play. And then the coaching will take over if we've done our job.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's what we're going to try to do, you know, and what we're going to set out about doing Friday night.
We had the big win over Trigg County last week and played really well. I thought that was our best game of the season, at least before the Fort Campbell game. Sometimes, though, when you win a big rivalry game like that and you win it, you know, in grand fashion and everybody's all excited, sometimes it's tough to get focused again for the next game, but I thought you guys did a really good job of, you know, celebrating that win, but then moving on and getting ready for the next game. Sometimes you can have a hangover after a win.
You can. And, you know, I was telling, we were talking, my dad was standing, you know, he was going to talk, he wasn't interested in talking to me, he was interested in talking to his grandson, you know. We were talking after the game, and he asked, he said, "Man, that, did you see this?" I said, "No, I didn't see all this coming. I didn't, you know, I thought," I said, "I'll tell you," I said, "I was nervous this week because that was a classic trap game. You come off an emotion, exactly what you said, and you're playing a Fort Campbell team that's pretty good. It's pretty good."
Yeah.
And so, you know, you want to make sure your kids understand that. Hey, listen, we cannot look a week ahead, or the week ahead doesn't mean – what it could,
right,
if you don't win this one in hand. So I was, as coaches, and maybe that's just, you know, the old coach coming out, but when you've been through it enough, you see that.
Yeah.
And that's what last night was. But I mean, I was proud of our kids. Coach McClung said that, and the rest of us coaches, I know we felt that when we said that to them. You know, I was proud. We were proud of the way that they came out and handled business last night. We were aggressive. We were aggressive on both sides of the ball. We were aggressive on special teams. You know, we get that turnover on the second kickoff where we recovered the kickoff, and that was kind of deflating to them, and we went down and scored, I think, in two plays.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be proud of kids that come out and play like that from the first whistle to the last whistle.
There's something to be said for that short kickoff and kind of giving yourself a chance to get down the field and fall on that thing. Because,
well, it worked, you know, last night.
Yeah, once it goes 10 yards, it's anybody's football.
It's anybody's ball. And,
so,
you know, Sutton, I don't know if he's always had it in him or he's just developed this knack, you know, messing around, being at football a little more now. He's developed this knack of the way he's kicking it. It seems like it's dying and jumping right in the right spot. So I don't know if he's holding his tongue right or if he's developed this knack for it. I'm not sure what's happening, but it's working.
It goes skip, 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 and then it has that big boing on the next one. And a couple times last night, it seemed like Fort Campbell had people in spots to get it, and then that ball just kicked up over them, and the next thing you know, it's a mad dash to who can get to a loose football.
It was, and, you know, to our kids' credit, they hustled down. And they were looking for it.
Yeah.
They were looking for it. So, you know, again, that's like what I said a while ago, that's kind of a testament to, you know, the coaching that Coach McClung and those guys did on special teams, and our kids just going down reckless and doing what they were coached to do.
Do you remember when the XFL first started and they didn't have a coin toss? They had that, whatever they called it, the rumble for the football, where it was just a loose ball, and two guys would go after it and try to grab it to see which team, you know, won the coin toss. That's what those kickoffs kind of looked like last night, because people were just colliding and going and flying and diving after the football to see who could get there first.
Really, the only thing I remember about the XFL, Todd, is he hate me or
I
whatever.
I thought maybe you'd say that.
That whatever it was. That's about the only thing I remember about that.
It was kind of fun, though. The XFL was fun. You talked about Sutton Richie, though, and, you know, this is one of those things that I hate to mention. We brought it up on the broadcast last night, and anytime somebody's got a streak going, you know, it's kind of like the old guy pitching a no-hitter thing.
Yeah.
So we brought it up, and thankfully Sutton kept making extra points last night. For the season, he's now 30 for 30. He made his last 15 last season, so that's 45 in a row. It's the second longest streak ever for a Tiger kicker. Brett Seymour actually hit 75 straight in the 2013 season. Brett's also third on the list with 33 straight in 2012. Career PATs, Sutton Richie is now up to 79. That is sixth all-time. Seymour is first with 149. You've got Boyce Nichols with 116. Blake Vivrette with 95. Dean Sears, 91. Jake Pepper, 89. And then Sutton, number six, with 79 career extra points. Of course, for a kicker, it helps to be on a team that's pretty prolific offensively.
That's what I was sitting there thinking as you were reading those stats. You know, a lot of those kickers had a lot of opportunities to kick a lot.
Yeah, Seymour was out there a bunch.
And so hopefully we can get Sutton a lot more of those opportunities as this year goes on. But anytime you have, I mean, those are some pretty good kickers you've reeled off there. And anytime, especially in high school football, when you have consistent kickers and kickers that can not only make extra points, but, you know, mid-range and some of those to rather long-range field goals, that's a weapon.
Yeah.
That's an absolute weapon, especially in tight ball games.
And you need to put an asterisk out there by all those guys, because somebody has to hold that ball and somebody has to snap it for all those to happen.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times in your special teams, especially in extra points and field goals, your unsung hero is your snapper.
Yeah.
You know, because getting the ball back there in a relatively fast way in a good spot where the holder can get it down is extremely important. Like I said, and every time you get into closer games – in tighter games, it becomes even that much more important.
The weird thing was, right after we had mentioned the consecutive PAT streak, the next snap was just off a little bit, and I think Drew holds, and he didn't get the ball turned, so Sutton kicked the laces, and I was like, oh, no, we've jinxed him, but he popped it right through like it wasn't nothing. You never would have known if you weren't standing there watching.
You know, Sutton does a good job of just going through and kicking, no matter what it is, and, you know, sometimes those laces don't get turned out.
Holding position, though, man, that's massively a tough job.
It's important. It's very important because, you know, the kicker has to feel comfortable too.
Yeah,
he's got to have you know, faith in that holder that he's going to get no matter what.
And you can't wait forever to approach the ball.
No, yeah. And matter of fact, you can't wait at all. You know, you've got to go when it's snapped. You know, right after it comes through, you've got to go. And so, you know, that holder position is good. And Drew's getting better. He's getting more comfortable at it. You know, that's not, I think people just think, you just grab it and put it on a block. Well, that may be part of it, but then you've got 11 guys that are trying to get to right where you're putting that block down. So, you know, it's not quite that easy, and it takes a lot of getting used to.
And interesting to point out as well that Sutton Richie's last miss was actually blocked. He didn't so much miss it, it just got blocked.
Well, then there you go. Yeah. That solidifies some things we just said.
Caldwell County celebrating a 49-12 win over Fort Campbell last night at Tiger Stadium. Again, Tigers are 5-1 this season, 2-0 in district play, with Mayfield coming to town next week. We're at McDonald's this morning with Caldwell County coach Bradley Stallings. We need to get to a timeout, but we'll continue with Saturday morning quarterback after this on 1580-103.3 WPKY.
Getting the kids to school makes mornings a little busier for everyone. Keep your kids safe with a reliable ride from U-Ride. Every vehicle is thoroughly checked for safety because they know your family comes first. From first cars for teens to dependable family SUVs, U-Ride has a range to fit every budget. Enjoy peace of mind knowing they're nearby and ready to help. U-Ride is committed to you after the sale. Visit them on Marion Road in Princeton and drive with confidence this school year.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Your home energy bills shouldn't break the bank. Pennyrail Electric and TVA Energy Right are here to help. Extreme weather, aging appliances, kids who never turn the lights off. There are lots of reasons why your energy bill can feel too high. Pennyrail Electric partners with TVA Energy Right to offer energy bill assistance, rebates, and zero down fixed rate loans for home energy upgrades. Find the right solution for you at energyright.com. That's energyright.com.
Don't miss your chance to play WPKY's This or That, the game that pits bands against artists as they battle it out to see who will be voted number one. Weekday mornings, Tess gives you the contestants. Then it's your turn to text your favorite to 270-963-9038. On Fridays, someone will win a prize just for voting. Let the battle begin. WPKY's This or That, only on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Caldwell County with a 49-12 win over Fort Campbell last night. We're at McDonald's in Princeton this morning on 62 West. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. Coach Bradley Stallings with us this morning. Camden McGregor here on controls with us. And Coach, a lot of highlights for you guys last night, but undoubtedly the play of the game, we got to give it to Cam Wilson again. That 75-yard touchdown reception was something else.
That was a very good individual effort.
Yeah.
You know, their defense did a good job. They did not bite, and which was kind of surprising with what we had seen on film. But they did a very good job, and, you know, he went up with two guys, and it was just a great individual effort. You know, Dalen came over to the sideline, and he was kind of chuckling. He said, Coach, I saw him bail. And he said, I tried to put a little more oomph on it, and it slipped. Oh. And I said, well, I could tell it come out wobbly. Because on a lot of passes, he said, they don't wobble.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, it just slipped out of my hand a little bit. And he said, it was underthrown. And he said, man, wasn't that a great catch? He said, that was something. And so we just kind of laughed on the sideline for a second. And, I don't know how much more you can say about that young man, the effort he's playing, and playing both ways in a lot of times. And, you know, we got a lot of kids like that this year. We got a lot of kids that are making individual efforts, and we got a lot of kids that are playing. We got more kids than ever that we have playing, you know, both ways, and not once did they complain. Matter of fact, they've kind of bought into it. And they're not on the field at all times. We're rotating them in and out and getting breaks and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of kids that are sacrificing a lot of things that, you know, that are making this run possible, and we just have to keep going. But back to what you said about Cam, and he's done a lot for us. You know, he had two, three really good runs last night too. When you score like we did last night, as fast as we scored, you know, you're not going to get a lot of touches.
Yeah.
Nobody is, but. You know, as Al Davis said, just win, baby.
Yeah.
So,
well, the fact that he could tip the ball to himself between a couple of defenders, make the catch, and then still shake those guys and run for a touchdown says a whole lot. But the thing I like about Cam, and you talked about it there a little bit, and it's really everybody on the team, Cam's not just there to celebrate the touchdowns. You know, he's not too good to go block somebody when he needs to. He's not too good to come down and put his nose in to make a tackle on somebody. And, you know, he's usually at the top of the tackle sheet too. So he's not just celebrating all the glory. He's doing all the dirty work like the other guys are.
Yes, and you know, that's one of the things that we watch. And our guys, we kind of, you know, instill and take a little pride in, you know, and as block.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I was watching some things. I think it was the Lions, Amon Ray. They did a little leak pass with him.
Yeah.
And the commentator I was watching and said, you know, the only way this is possible to leak a guy out like that is when he blocks relentlessly on run plays and screen plays.
Yeah.
And you're talking about one of the more prolific receivers in NFL right now. You know, and that's something that Coach Barnes, David brought, and Will and kept bringing. You know, when you're – exterior guys on the edges block, that's when big plays happen.
Yeah.
And Cam has done a good job. Derek has done a good job. Zy and Drew have done a good job. You know, we're getting a lot of unselfish play from a lot of kids. You know, now we're not above taking a play off here and there either, but that's part of coaching too, you know. So, but our kids have really done a good job. And when you go back and look at some of the bigger plays we've had, you've had a lot of people blocking. You know, Jack Roach, I think he just loves to go in and block. You know, we ran that. We ran kind of a heavy set last night down on the goal line. He came back, and we just called it our Tiger formation, you know, and he said – he came back and he said, "Man, Tiger's a thing of beauty." You know, and he's just the up back. He's the blocking back. He knows what he's in there for, and he enjoys it.
Yeah.
You know, and you gotta have guys like that. And you know, I hope you know, when people see the big catches and the long plays, that there's a lot of, like you said, Todd, there's a lot of unsung heroes that go into making that play happen. And Cam and Derek and, you know, Colson Maddox and a lot of those guys, they've understood that, and that makes it special. Because I do see them go celebrate with their buddies and their teammates, and when that happens, and that's, you know, we've got a pretty good group of kids, and it's a joy to be around.
But you go back to the long touchdown pass to Zy Rollins against Trigg County the week before, and Dalen held the ball and held the ball and held the ball to give him a chance to get down there. Well, you can't hold it forever like that if you don't have some trust in your offensive linemen to keep you protected.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and those guys are getting better and better every week as a unit. And, you know, they work their tails off. And, you know, offensive linemen, your offense, and I've always known this, but your offense is only as good as those front five.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And they're not about individual stats. Those guys are all about unit and effort, and, you know, it's kind of like the Three Musketeers, one for all and all for one, and that's their motto, and it has been. And, you know, I think in probably all of sports, team sports that I've played, that group has to be the most unselfish of any group ever. It gets the least notoriety.
Yeah, you don't get your name in the paper for a good block.
And they're not in it for that. They're in it to win and to watch those guys' faces when we score. They celebrate more with each other when another guy makes a big block than the guy that makes the big block. And that's what it's all about.
But a lot of things go hand in hand, because if you're an offensive lineman and you know you have guys behind you that are going to break tackles for you, you're going to block a little harder because, you know, if we just give them a crease, they're gone.
Yes.
And the same thing, if you're a running back, you think, if these guys just give me a little opening, we've got something.
Yes. I will say this because, you know, I can say this because I'm his father, but the long run that Cam had, he came over and they were talking, and I heard him say to the other guys, he said, "Man, I'm glad Cam's fast because I sure whiffed on that block." So, you know, and they love each other.
Yeah.
And they will take up for each other, and they will fight for each other. And as a coach, I don't know how you can ask for much more than that.
Yeah. Let's bring Camden in. Camden, you got a question for the coach?
Yeah, since we're at home for like a lot this season, it's really nice. It's nice on the production and nice on the radio as well.
Enjoy it this year because it's the opposite next year.
Yeah, I know. But with the players and the coaching staff, like, going into week by week and knowing that they're home, like, what does it pump the guys up, or does it just, like, it's another week at home, let's take care of business, or what's going on in the locker room whenever they realize we're at home this week?
I think it's a lot. I think it's both. I think they enjoy playing at home. You know, who wouldn't, really?
Yeah.
You know? And, but I know they have to take care of business, but I know our guys enjoy playing at home. And, you know, kudos to – we've had some good crowds this year.
Yeah,
we really have. We've had some really great crowds this year, and you know, as a coach, and as a Caldwell Countyan, that's neat to see, and it's special because that's not everywhere.
Yeah,
that is not everywhere, and I think our kids understand that. And you know, those that are listening, and you know, that are fans, thank you all for the support you showed our young men. And not only have there been big crowds, they've been some loud crowds. That last week against Trigg, I mean, with all the ups
loud.
And the I don't really know the word, all the uncertainties that happened before the game even started, that crowd stayed, and they were loud.
Man,
that was a great crowd.
We talked in the broadcast many a times to be like, this is probably the best scene in Western Kentucky for football. Like, you got the hill at the Big Tiger on the gym wall, and then you got, of course, Destin Cash with the checkerboard end zones and the big CC interlocking and the sunset at the cow pastures and all that. It's like,
don't let Dustin fool you.
He doesn't fool me.
They're Tennessee checkerboards, I'm not sure about that.
At least we made them blue and gold.
We did make them blue and gold. No, it looks great, and they've done a good job. And, you know, it is a beautiful scene. And, you know, you kind of got to look back and think, you know, the guys that developed that in the 70s, is this what they envisioned? Because it is beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank the good Lord that – and I am. I mean, praise the Lord. We are blessed with that scene on Friday nights. And even, you know, the kids, you know, I guess I saw it as a student, but I don't think I realized the view from the cafeteria.
Yeah.
When you get older and you look out across there, especially in the fall, like we're getting ready to have with the trees turning. I mean, it is just a beautiful scene in a beautiful, you know, building and system. And, you know, thank you to, you know, the administration that has taken care of that and made sure it looks good. So it is. It's a good thing.
It's even better when we put up more points than the other team.
That helps. You know, and that stadium, you know, I've heard people say a lot, well, if walls could talk. But if that stadium could tell stories, over the years. And, you know, so it's yes, I'm thankful. And to answer your question, to come full circle with your question, our kids, they love playing at home. You know, because of what we just talked about, all the things that make it special. And so, you know, no less our community that makes it special too. You know, we live in a community that still supports our young people. And actually they go above and beyond, because the way our businesses help and give and donate and give and donate and give and donate. You know, thank you to all of you out there that do that, because it does help our kids. It does make them feel special. It does, you know, it does make them feel like they're important.
Yeah.
And, you know, even not just to sports, but to the academic side as well. The businesses give stuff to our you know, our schools, and what they've donated and what they do. They really go above and beyond what I think is probably what, you know. And it's just, all I'm going to say is thank you to those out there.
Well, nobody travels like Mayfield, so it ought to be a crazy crowd next week.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be. And, you know, we look forward to it.
Tigers coming off a 49-12 win over Fort Campbell last night at Tiger Stadium. We're at McDonald's this morning. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. We'll talk more with Coach Bradley Stallings right after this timeout. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Imagine walking into your office every morning where every wall is perfected to the highest standard. At Altman Coatings, we offer the opportunity to transform your business environment into a pristine space that reflects professionalism and taste. Our expert team is driven by precision and perfection and handles every project with the utmost care, whether it's a towering commercial building or a cozy home office. Choose your excellence by choosing Altman Coatings. Learn more about Altman Coatings on Facebook and TikTok.
This is Daniel Ingram with H&R AgriPower. Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today, like the Kubota L-Series compact tractor, the number one selling compact tractor in the U.S., Z-Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available, or save up to $3,500. Now through September 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details. Come and see us at H&R AgriPower, 4900 Eagle Way, Hopkins.
With Planters Bank, you're served up points with every swipe of your Planters check card with You Choose Rewards. You'll earn points on every credit transaction you make with your Planters Bank Visa check card. Visit PlantersBankOnline.com to learn more. You Choose Rewards on the Planters Visa check card. Reason number 15, that Planters is the bank where you can expect great things. Member FDIC.
Ever have one of those medical questions you're too embarrassed to ask?
I got a tick bite in the worst place possible. I heard if you put Vaseline on it, it'll just back itself out. Is that true?
Community Medical Clinic will join Coffee Talk to spill the beans.
Is hair of the dog really good for a hangover?
Text your questions at 270-963-9038.
How many ibuprofen is too many ibuprofen?
Listen, Middle Mondays at 8:15. You might just hear your answer.
Is that normal?
I mean, honestly.
Is that true?
Spill the beans, only on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Saturday Morning Quarterback Show continues on WPKY. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Caldwell County with a 49-12 win over Fort Campbell last night at Tiger Stadium. The Tigers are 5-1 overall, 2-0 in the district. Mayfield is also 5-1 overall and 2-0 in district play. And the Cardinals will come to Princeton next Friday night. Good morning again, everyone. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback. We are at McDonald's all season long on Saturday mornings, so thanks for joining us. Tiger coach Bradley Stallings with us on the show this morning, and let's check a few scores from last night. Big game over in Cadiz last night, and Crittenden County got out of there with a 33-24 win, so coach, Crittenden County looks like they're kind of on the way up.
Well, sure, and yeah. Their coaches do a really good job over there. You know, Coach Courtney and Coach Barry, they get those kids ready to play, and they get better as the year goes on. And, you know, that's a big win for them.
Mayfield 63, Todd County Central 0. Not a big shock there. Big game over in Madisonville last night. They went to overtime before Madisonville beat Graves County 23-20. We're kind of familiar with those teams because we've seen them the last several seasons.
You know, that's a district game, I believe, for those two teams.
I think so. Yeah, 5A.
5A. So that was a big game. You know, it's a good win for Madisonville. Good showing for Graves. You know, Madisonville has some big wins this year, so that was a good win.
I would say Murray and McCracken County played a basketball game last night because Murray won 59-56. But if you've seen some first region basketball games, they don't score nearly that many points.
No, that's a lot of offense and not a lot of defense. That's an impressive score.
I have not seen any stats from that game yet.
I wonder what time the game ended.
They were still going when we got done, but so was everybody last night. No, we finished about 2 hours earlier last night than we did the week before. So I was home by 10 o'clock last night. We left the stadium at 11 o'clock the week before after the trig
game. We were just getting going good at 10 o'clock than the week before.
Paducah Tillman beat Allen County Scottsville 48-7. Tillman keeps rolling. Union County over Hancock County 21-14. That was probably a pretty good game.
Yes, it was. You know, those two teams are very physical. We watched the very end of that on, I don't know if it was NFHS or if it was something that Coach McClung had pulled up. And, you know, I'd say that was a very physical, hard-fought football game.
Christian County made the trip to Caverna last night, fell behind early, but came back to post a 40-32 win. Hoptown was not as fortunate, fell to Carterville, Illinois, 35-15 last night. Webster County picked up a win, beating Ohio County 20-18. Marshall County over Muhlenberg County, 23-21. And score in from Alabama, maybe you missed this one last night, Williams 100, Murphy 0.
Good grief.
And the interesting thing about that is the Williams coach asked for a running clock after they got it big, and the other team's coach didn't want one. So they kind of played that sucker out until the final few minutes anyway.
That must have been personal.
Oh, my. Well.
The losing coach didn't want to run the clock.
That's got to be personal.
You would think at some point. So, you know, 100 points back in the day, 100 years ago, that was not as uncommon as you might think. There's a – Owensboro had that team back in 1917 that was putting up 100 points just about every week. And, of course, you know, that was a long time ago, I know. But the rumors always were that, you know, they kind of had some ringers on that team, that maybe all those kids weren't necessarily high school kids.
Yeah, so. That may be possible, too. That 100-0 is impressive in any sport.
Yeah. It's really impressive.
The closest I can recall around here was one year Henderson County had maybe Ohio County or somebody down 96-0 or 98-0 and took a knee at the 5-yard line late in the game to keep from getting 100. But, yeah, you don't see that a whole lot, especially when you have the mercy rule anymore.
Right. And so when you get a running clock, it's hard to reach 100.
Now, as you guys look ahead to Mayfield next week, at what point do you start game planning for those guys?
this morning.
All right.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got on it this morning, and just like we do every other week. So we got on it, and we'll have a game plan developed. We'll meet as coaches tomorrow afternoon after church, and, you know, on Zoom, and we'll put it all together and then move forward with our kids and get ready. Yeah. And so that's what we're going to do.
The one consistent with Mayfield always is they are really good up front.
They are. And it harkens back to what we said. You know, when you've got guys in the trenches, be pretty good. And I feel like, I feel like our guys may be pretty good too, you know, up front. So, we'll just see where we're at and we'll go from there.
Those Mayfield guys, though, they come up through junior pro and middle school, and it's the same system for those guys.
It is, and, you know, now that you mentioned that, our guys have gotten a lot better, up front too. And, you know, I think over the years our Little League program has advanced and developed, and you know, I feel like we're doing a pretty good job of developing our young kids in the same system. And, you know, our coaches in their Little League program and middle school program are doing an excellent job with that too. They're doing a great job, and I think that's evident. And it's neat to see those little kids. So, you know, everybody, yes, they do, and I guess they've done a great job with their Little League and stuff over there. But I feel like we have too, and I feel like that's been evident with some of the ways that our kids have stuck together and played. And there's always things you can do better and changes you can make. But shout out to our Little League program and those coaches and those kids, and you know, they're playing today too. Yeah. And it's neat to see those little kids with blue and gold on and on Fridays at their school too, and they're excited about their program. And, you know, Coach McClung and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, when the high school team has success, it trickles down too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those kids, those little kids in third and fourth grade and fifth and sixth grade, you know, the high school high school players might as well be NFL players to those kids when they see them in the hallways and when those kids go to their schools. And, you know, then they see them on Friday night and they're scoring touchdowns or making big tackles or making interceptions. And, you know, it's a trickle down. And, it's good to see. And, I think our Little League program is doing pretty good, too.
When you look at Mayfield, you guys have playmakers, have made some big plays this year, so that always gives you a chance. And, again, you kind of look back up front, though, and you don't have to go in there and just own the line of scrimmage, but you got to kind of, you know, fight them even up front.
You got to compete for it.
Yeah.
And, that's where the battle's going to be. There's no doubt about that. And in any close game, that's if you got to win part of them. You're not going to win every single play, but you got to win your share of them. And then you let the chips fall where they go.
Another big Saturday in college football. Of course, a lot of us looking forward to that Kentucky-South Carolina game tonight. Camden, I think the Cats have a chance.
Yeah, the Cats do have a chance. Cutter Bowley is starting again for Kentucky, so it'll be an interesting thing what they're going to do over there in Columbia. So hopefully they get the win. Murray State's on a bye week this weekend, so no Murray State in action. WKU is playing Missouri State at 6 o'clock. So some of the big matchups are, of course, a wideout game at Penn State against Oregon. So that'll be pretty good matchups, a 6-3.
And I believe that's a Big Ten game now.
Yeah.
That's difficult to fathom that
one
coast to the other coast and it's a conference game.
Yeah, and then you got Alabama, Georgia at Georgia, Ole Miss and LSU at LSU, Auburn, A&M, Tennessee goes on the road to Mississippi State. So I wouldn't call that one a blowout, even though they beat Mississippi State, beat Arizona State, upset them earlier this year. So it could be very interesting to see what Tennessee does down there in Starkville. So
Kentucky and South Carolina is a night game.
Yep, at 6:45. So it will be loud. The rooster will crow every single minute that they can. I don't know why, but South Carolina hates Kentucky. They hate them. I don't get it. We haven't done anything wrong to them, but they don't like them.
But when you can run the football, and I like McGowan and Dowdell, if you can run the football, you can take a crowd out of a game. You can control the tempo. If Kentucky doesn't turn the ball over, Bradley, I think there's a chance.
There's always a chance when you don't turn the football over. That's one of the things we talked to the guys about last night. You know, up until last night when we'd won the turnover battle, we've won the game. I think last night that kind of flipped it. We kind of turned the ball over there a couple times in the second half. But, yes, anytime you don't turn the ball over, you can win. I hope Kentucky's ready for that song, too. I'm not sure what it's called. But
I don't know
which is worse, that one or Rocky Top.
I can't tell which stadium I don't like more. Either the South Carolina Stadium or Mississippi State. I don't like the cowbells. You'll have to have Advil if you go to the game because cowbell will be ringing for a week in your brain.
But those are all traditions, and those are great things about football. Yes. And if you're Kentucky and you go to South Carolina and pick up a win, you've done something.
You've done something.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of the special thing about football, especially college football and high school football. You know, NFL football, not so much because you have your tailgaters. But, you know, the traditions that goes along with that, and that's one thing about our sport we really never need to lose. That's what kind of, to me, sets it apart. Saturday afternoons, Saturday nights, you know, those traditions. You know, especially when you go to – quote-unquote football schools, it's not a game, it's an event. And a lot of those events start on Friday afternoon, and they carry to the game just happens to be the main event. But there's a lot of undercards that goes on at those places, and they're generational. You know, those people are doing this for you know, they're leaving tailgating spots in their will to their kids and such. So I mean, that's you know, the culture of those places, you know, across the country that are football schools. And you know, for our sport, we don't need to lose that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what makes it special.
One of the things that makes that Mayfield game so great to me on the schedule coming up, I see a lot of opportunity, you know, and I think it just depends on how you approach that game. If you approach it as, hey, we have a great opportunity to pick up a big win and do something great and gain all this notoriety, I think you've got a chance. But if you approach it like, oh, no, it's Mayfield and they're really good, then you don't have as much of a chance.
That's exactly right. And you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know we've got a game Friday night, and I do know we're going to prepare, and I do know our kids are going to prepare, and they're going to show up, and we're going to strap them on, and we're going to go play. Yeah. And that's kind of how you want your kids to prepare. And Mayfield's going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you prepare, and you get ready to go, and you go play the game that you, like I said, I mean, if we're going to work – in May and June and July and August when it's hot and it's miserable and you're beating and banging and slobbering on each other, these are the games you work for. And so, you know, our kids will be ready, and Mayfield will be ready. And, you know, we look forward to a good game on Friday night.
Both teams are 5-1 overall, 2-0 in the district, and it's next Friday night out at Tiger Stadium. That's going to wrap us up this morning on Saturday Morning Quarterback. Bradley, appreciate you coming in this
morning.
Thank
you, Tom.
That's Bradley Stallings, Caldwell County Offensive Coordinator. Appreciate Camden McGregor on controls here at McDonald's this morning. This is Todd Griffin. Thanks a lot for joining us on Saturday Morning Quarterback from McDonald's on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.